Hey, Mom!
I'm home. What's in the refrigerator? Boy, am I starved. Let's see. Cold milk. Ham sandwich. Delicious. Sure wish I could have gotten that chemistry experiment worked out. Nuts. Iron filings. And on top of that, I ripped this shirt. Oh, well. Mom can sew it up, I guess. It's cotton. A ham sandwich. And cold milk.
The names of famous men become our household words. We drink pasteurized milk. We wear mercerized materials. We use galvanized iron. We call a certain form of food a sandwich because Lord Sandwich reputedly made the first one. And today, we'd like to tell you the story of a man whose principles serve as the ABCs of electricity. From Greenville, South Carolina, Bob Jones University presents Miracles. A man's life is but an empty, broken shell without an inward source of power. God's power alone can take a life and bind it into a dynamic, moving force. Truly, great men are God's men. In science especially, the pioneers have been honored by the use of their names. In the field of electricity alone, there is the volt, the ampere, the watt, the ohm, the coulomb, and the farad. The last one holds our attention at the moment. Half a dozen words in the vocabulary of science come from this one stem: farad, faradic, faradize, and others. All from the name of this man who was a pioneer in electromagnetics. Only those with a technical education will understand the statement that the farad is the electromagnetic unit of capacity. But anyone who ever owned a Model T Ford knows what a magneto is. It was the work of the pioneer scientist that made possible the magneto and the generator. And every time you use an automobile, you owe a debt of gratitude to a bookbinder's apprentice who was interested in physics. Let's see. Farad, faradic, faradize. Words coming from the name of one of science's most famous trailblazers. The pioneering scientist we honor today made many and far-reaching discoveries in chemistry.
Every time you use a piece of material dyed with aniline dyes, you are indebted to him for the discovery of benzol, which is the basis of aniline dyes.
He succeeded in liquefying several gases and invented new kinds of optical glass.
He began his experiments in electricity with a kind of battery made of 7 copper halfpennies, 7 discs of zinc, and 6 pieces of paper moistened with a salt water. But it worked, and he decomposed sulfate of magnesia with it.
He worked with magnets and traced out those mysterious lines of magnetism which group themselves around the poles of a magnet. They are still called lines of force, the name he gave them.
In 1821, at the age of 30, he succeeded in making electrical charge coils of wire and magnets revolve around each other. The magneto, the generator, and the dynamo are all developments of these experiments. And those still more famous ideas 10 years later, when he discovered the principle of induced electric currents. They were epoch-making discoveries then. And from them have come 1,000 appliances in everyday use.
Electromagnets, transformers, dynamos, telegraph, telephone, Radios, phoratic batteries, electric lights, and electric bells are all the fruits of this genius's discoveries.
He experimented with the composition of liquids by an electric current. He gave us the names anode and cathode for the electric terminals in a liquid or a vacuum.
In 1845, he discovered that the plane of polarized light can be rotated by magnetic force, thus proving that light and electricity are related.
He was a careful and painstaking investigator of facts and laws. He was an experimenter of great ingenuity, with a logical mind and a gift for lucid expression. But this was only one side of the nature of this pioneering scientist, Michael Faraday.
There, now we know his name. And you are correct. We have only seen one side of Faraday's nature. He was deeply religious, with a very definite faith. He was a puzzle to some of his contemporaries. A fellow scientist wrote to the effect that Faraday was a scientist in his laboratory and a saint in his chapel. It was a remark often cynically repeated to suggest that Faraday's science and his religion were in conflict, that they had to be pursued separately, and that his mind was in two idea-tight compartments. We have Faraday's own words to show that this was not the case. They are worth noting if the seeming conflict between science and religions troubles you today. He wrote,
"I have never seen anything incompatible between those things of man which can be known by the spirit of man, which is in him, and those higher things concerning his future, which he cannot know by his spirit."
Michael Faraday was at the point of death. He lay on his bed, peacefully resting, while outside his door, inquisitive persons begged for an interview. They wanted to be able to have on paper the actual last words of this scientist genius. And they all wanted to ask but one question.
"What are your speculations, Mr. Faraday? What are your speculations?"
And this was his reply.
"Speculations?"
"Yes, sir. What are your speculations?"
"I have none. I am resting on certainties. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day."
Those are the words he spoke in answer to the question,
"What are your speculations, Mr. Faraday?"
And what was it he said on his deathbed?
He asked for a piece of paper and penned these words,
"My faculties are slipping away. Happy is it for us that our true good lies not in them. As they ebb, they leave us as little children, trusting in the Father of mercies and accepting his unspeakable gift."
It is strange, isn't it, how some people are bothered today with the thought that modern science will not let them keep God and be a Christian.
Yes, it is. But they should accept the solution of Michael Faraday, the great scientist, when he said,
"I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day."
And right here, I'd like to take you back to the opening of our story for a brief reminder.
"Hey, Mom! I'm home. What's in the refrigerator? Boy, am I starved. Let's see. Cold milk. Ham sandwich. Delicious. Sure wish I could have gotten that chemistry experiment worked out. Nuts, iron filings. And on top of that, I ripped this shirt. Oh, well, Mom can sew it up, I guess. It's cotton. A ham sandwich. And cold milk."
Yes, the names of famous men become our household words. We drink pasteurized milk. We wear mercerized materials. We use galvanized iron. We call a certain form of food a sandwich because Lord Sandwich reputedly made the first one. And today we've told you the story of a man whose principles serve as the ABCs of electricity. A man whose Christian principles serve as the ABCs of a devoted life of faith in God.
I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
Because of his pioneering spirit as a scientist,
and because of his humble spirit as a Christian,
we salute Michael Faraday.
This is the last in this series of miracles. We should like to give special credit to Mrs. Walter C. Erdman, who gave permission for the use of her husband's book, Sources of Power in Famous Lives, the book from which these series were adapted for radio by Robert Pratt. Bob Harris acted as Michael Faraday with the assistance of Betty Panosian. The high school boy was Bill Moose. The script was directed by Laura Pratt, and this is Dave Urey, reminding you that God's power alone can take a life and bind it into a dynamic, moving force. For all truly great men are God's men. Miracles is a transcribed production of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.